In 2002, a 7-year-old girl named Hannah Milbrandt was at the doctor's with her mom, Teresa. Since Hannah had been feeling just a bit under the weather lately, her mom had wanted to have her checked out to make sure that everything was normal. But although Hannah and her dad figured that everything would be completely fine since she only had a minor fever and a cough, a few days later, when her scan results came back, her mom sat them both down and informed them that Hannah had terminal cancer. She continued, describing the tumor that had been found at the base of Hannah's spine and how she might not have too long left to live. Although Hannah was still too young to fully grasp what all this meant, seeing her dad break down into tears completely terrified her. Because she was so young though, she didn't notice that for some reason her mom wasn't crying. But regardless, in that moment, Hannah knew that her life was about to change forever. Her life would indeed change, just not in any way that she or anyone else could have ever imagined. Welcome back, guys. My name is Andy Jang, and this is Hidden Stories. Following Hannah's leukemia diagnosis, her life and daily routines drastically changed practically overnight. Since her mom, Teresa, warned her that her immune system was now in an extremely vulnerable state and that even catching something as small as a common cold could be highly fatal to her, she was no longer allowed to go outside and play with friends anymore or have them over at their house. Whenever Hannah left home, her mom now made her wear a surgical mask, telling her that it would stop other people's germs from making her sicker. And since doctors had told her mom that the tumor on the back of her brainstem was in an inoperable location, Hannah had to start going in for chemotherapy treatment multiple times a week as well. Being 7, Hannah couldn't fully comprehend all of these new changes that now had to be made in her life, why she suddenly couldn't see any of her friends anymore, and why she had to behave so differently from her peers. She couldn't even really understand the concept of death, what her mom kept warning her would happen if she didn't do exactly as she was told. However, since Hannah's biggest fear at the time was being separated from her mom and dad, and from what she had been told, that's what death was, the idea of dying absolutely terrified her, so she religiously followed her mom's instructions and accepted them fully. But despite her reluctant acceptance of these new changes in her life, that didn't stop her from becoming completely miserable because of them. Although Hannah had been a very cheerful, happy little girl before her diagnosis, she now hated her life. She absolutely hated how people would immediately treat her differently when they found out about her cancer, with such pity and sadness in their eyes. She hated the attention that everyone now gave her, which was made even worse by the fact that her mom and dad were spreading the news of her cancer as far and as wide as they could so that they could receive donations towards her expensive chemotherapy treatment. Before long, it began to feel like everywhere Hannah went, people knew exactly who she was, the poor little girl who had gotten cancer. But despite just how horrible all this attention made her feel, her mom Teresa absolutely loved it. She no longer ever left the house without at least wearing some sort of fashionable clothes. She began to go out fairly often to have her nails manicured and her hair styled. And she never turned down a chance to go out and look for more donations from their friends, local businesses, and their community in general. This got to such a point that Hannah even felt that her mom was just starting to never be around and was becoming more distant from her at the very moment when she needed her the most. She would beg and beg to be able to sleep in her parents' room at night since she was scared of being alone in the dark, but her mom, for some reason, would always say no. Although this greatly confused and hurt Hannah and also further heightened her fear of being separated from her family, her dad Bob was always there for her when her mom wasn't. Despite the fact that her dad was never able to attend her chemotherapy appointments at the hospital with her and her mom since he had to leave the house at 4:30 a.m. every day for work, whenever he was around, he always made sure to shower Hannah with the affection that she needed and that she was so lacking from her mom. Although Hannah and her dad both weren't happy about the fact that her mom was now always just out and about, it also made sense though. Since Hannah's chemotherapy cost $500 every single week, there was no way that their family could afford the treatment without donations, and her mom, Teresa, was doing an incredible job at bringing those donations in. She would often go into great detail about Hannah's condition to others, specifically describing her 3 tumors, where they were located, and how ineffective chemo had been at shrinking them so far. When Teresa informed the small church that their family attended in Urbana, Ohio about her 7-year-old daughter's condition, the tiny community was so compassionate and so generous that they were able to raise an astonishing $7,000 for her. Most of these folks weren't rich at all and were giving away hard-earned money that they very much needed for themselves as well, but nonetheless, they just wanted to pitch in and help out. Similarly, when firefighters at a local fire station were told about Hannah, they contributed $500 out of pocket as well, and also donated a puppy and an all-expenses-paid trip to a water park to Hannah, two things that she had long been pleading with her parents for. And when an extremely ill girl who had been confined to a wheelchair for most of her life heard about what Hannah was going through, she decided to donate all of the pop can tabs that she had spent the past 9 years meticulously and tirelessly collecting to pay for her own care to help Hannah pay for hers instead. The entire Urbana community greatly felt for Hannah and what she was going through, and they rallied together to support her, whatever the cost. When Hannah's hair began to fall out in patches due to her chemotherapy and her mom had her head shaved completely bald, this became even more so the case. Since Hannah had always loved her long, blonde hair, she had begged her mom not to cut it all off. When her mom still did though, saying that they had to, Hannah sobbed uncontrollably, insisting that she looked like a boy. To that, her mom simply responded, "But you look like a pretty boy," and told her that she could wear hats until her hair grew back. As a result, to make Hannah feel better about having to wear hats to school every day, the staff there soon organized a Hats for Hannah Day, where every kid in the school wore hats as well and donated $5 towards her treatment. As pictures of Hannah with her bald head began to spread across the town and also made its way into the local newspaper, more and more donations began to come in from various locals and local businesses. In October of 2002, however, Hannah was suddenly told by her mom that she had just a few months left to live. Obviously, Hannah was devastated. All of a sudden, she was getting sent to the counselor's office every day at school to help her come to terms with her upcoming death. She'd be told to sit and talk about her fears and then asked to draw pictures of heaven. And all of her friends were suddenly treating her differently as well. As if Hannah's life hadn't already fallen apart enough, it had just completely fallen apart even more. A few weeks before Christmas that year, Hannah begged Santa for her life to be spared. That was her only request. As it turns out, her wish would actually be granted, but not in any way that she was expecting it to be. In late November of 2002, teachers at Hannah's school began to become highly suspicious about her hair. Although real chemotherapy patients generally have extremely patchy hair, since the treatment causes it to fall out and grow back in chunks, Hannah's hair had always seemed perfectly even, as if it had been frequently cut to maintain its short length. As a result, Hannah's teachers soon decided to contact the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services to investigate everything. And when someone was sent over to the school, they were shocked to find that the chemotherapy port bandages that were covering Hannah's back had nothing underneath them. When local police were notified about this, they quickly made their way to Hannah's home to speak with her mom, Teresa. Within the night, she had confessed, admitting that Hannah's cancer wasn't actually real and that she had faked everything. Over the past 6 months, Hannah, her dad, and their entire community of Urbana, Ohio had been completely convinced that she was dying. But now, it was suddenly revealed that she had been completely healthy all along, and it shocked everyone. As it turns out, that very first day that Hannah and her mom Teresa had gone to the doctor for her minor fever and had gotten all of those scans done, they had all come back completely normal. However, out of a desire for her own financial gain and also out of a fear that Hannah's dad Bob would leave her soon, Teresa decided to lie and claim that a tumor had been found. Over time, she continued to expand upon this lie. Although to outsiders, including Hannah's dad, it seemed like Teresa was taking Hannah to chemotherapy at the hospital 3 times a week, the truth was she had been secretly drugging Hannah with adult sleeping pills during every car ride. This made it so that when Hannah woke up each time, Teresa could tell her that they had already been to the doctors and had the chemotherapy done already, and Hannah, being so young, would never know otherwise. In the few times where Hannah's dad, Bob, had tried to schedule days off of work so that he could come to the hospital with them, Teresa had pretended that the appointments had gotten rescheduled at the very last minute to avoid him finding out about her lie. Similarly, Teresa had lied about everything else related to Hannah's cancer and her cancer treatments as well. Since Hannah wasn't actually undergoing any chemotherapy, Teresa had been secretly cutting Hannah's hair short again every time it grew back in, just like her teachers had suspected. and she had also taped large medical bandages on Hannah's back over nothing and claimed that it was there to cover the chemotherapy ports that had been implanted onto Hannah's skin. Before long, Hannah's mom, dad, and grandmother had all been arrested, and she herself was placed into protective custody. When their house was searched, police found the sleeping pills that had been used on Hannah, as well as some of the cash that had been donated to them. However, the most disturbing thing that they found were all of the pop can taps that had been so generously donated to them by that extremely sick girl, just left untouched in their garage. Teresa hadn't even bothered to cash them in, and had apparently just decided to make money the easier way by asking people. Although all of these pop can taps were luckily able to be returned back to that girl and her family, out of the $30,000 in other donations that Hannah's mom had managed to raise, only $500 of it were ever recovered. In the end, both Hannah's mom, Teresa, and her dad, Bob, were charged with theft, child endangerment, and felonious assault. Despite Teresa attempting to plead not guilty by reason of insanity, she was later sentenced to 6.5 years in prison. As for Hannah's dad, although he desperately insisted that he had never known that Hannah's cancer was fake, he was later found guilty as well and spent 5 years in prison. Although Hannah has always maintained that her dad was completely innocent and knew nothing about what was going on, there was simply too much evidence to suggest that he and Teresa were working together. It was simply hard for any judge or jury to believe that, over the course of 6 months of living with Hannah and Teresa every day, Hannah's dad had never noticed a single suspicious thing, such as the lack of any hospital bills or the fact that Teresa never actually took Hannah to the hospital. Also, since Hannah's dad still continued to support and live with Teresa even after he had found out what she had done, even many of their neighbors back in Urbana began to suspect that he had been in on the fake cancer plot all along. However, to this day, both Hannah and her dad maintain his innocence, and they also say that he had only been supportive of his wife because they had been together for 8 years without any issues before the cancer scandal. After spending a year in protective custody, Hannah was allowed to live with her aunt Sue, who later gained custody of her. Over the next few months and years, Hannah struggled greatly with depression and considered on multiple occasions taking her own life. She was completely haunted by what her mom had done to her. Looking back, there were so many small things that seemed really weird at the time but now made sense, such as her mom not crying when telling her about her cancer diagnosis, her calling Hannah her $1 million baby one time after chemo, and her going out and getting her nails done while her daughter was supposedly suffering from cancer. But although Hannah doesn't know if she'll ever truly get over her traumatizing experience, she's managed to find a love for life. She began seeing a therapist, reunited with her dad, and moved in with him after he was released from prison, and cut her mom out of her life for good. As of 2017, Hannah was in university studying to be a social worker so that she could one day help kids in foster care. In her own words, "I feel like there are people out there who are struggling and have been abused in some way. It might not be the same as mine, but everybody has a story. One thing I want people to know is that even in the hardest points in life, there is light at the end of the tunnel. This life is worth something." With that being said, I hope you found today's story interesting. If you did, please share this episode with friends who might enjoy it as well. Comment your thoughts and leave a rating. It really does go a long way and helps make this entire thing possible. To read the Hidden Stories program disclaimer, ethics policy, and verification and licensing terms, go to human-content.com/hiddenstories. That's human-content.com/hiddenstories. I'll see you guys soon.